witness today against you. This is Deuteronomy 30:19. God is saying, I'm calling heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death. He's put it before us. There's witnesses all around us. Heavenly witness, earthly witness, they're all around us. And he's saying, I'm giving you a choice between life and death. You know, when I was in that prison, you see people that are there and they want to live, but they can't because of choices or decisions they made, because that's why they're there. And now all of a sudden, they're limited to how they can live. And that's where the enemy wants to have you. He wants to keep you captivated so spiritually you're not living, and you're within restrictions, and you're living within these little four walls that you yourself had built because God didn't put them there. So he's telling you, you get to choose life or death. Then he goes on, he says, blessing and cursing. You get to be blessed, you get to be cursed. Therefore, this is God speaking, choose life. Choose life. Live. Enjoy. Have a joy in your heart. Let there be joy, excitement, and energy. You know, the thing is, we live so, so heavy. And it goes on, it says, that both you and your descendants may live. Isn't that cool that if you choose life, you have an impact on those around you to live, to choose life as well, to be joyful and excitement and energized? But it works the opposite as well. If you speak death and you want to live in death and disappointment, discouragement, frustration, that's what you spill out. And then it goes on and says, that you may love the Lord your God. In other words, live life so that you may love the Lord your God. In other words, know who you are in God. Live it to the fullest. Be able to be everything that God wants you to be, that you may obey His voice. In other words, when you're living with life of God, you know the voice of God and you're fulfilling it, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. Isn't that awesome? That you're grabbing a hold of God and you're saying, I know, Lord, that you're in charge of my life, and where you lead me and take me, that's where I want to be. That's awesome what God is saying to you this morning. Amen. And it says, and that you may dwell in the land. Whenever it talks the land, it's the promise. That you may dwell in the promise which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're a blessed people. We have to just make the choice to live and to be blessed. Or live, I don't know how you could say live death, but live with death before you, I guess. I don't know how you say that. How can you live and be death at the same time, seek death? But you make a choice to follow and pursue what you want. That's what the Lord is saying. And the Lord is challenging each one of us this morning that, you know what, even through the worship, that the freedom of God comes through the worship, because as you worship God, He fills you with joy. He fills you with just an excitement and an energy, and you start understanding the presence of God. Even that song that was said, in His presence is everything we need, is in the presence of God. So many times we're looking for something to help us or to guide us, but we look in all the wrong places. Isn't there a song that says, looking for love in all the wrong places? Too many faces or something, I don't know. Because you go around looking for it, don't we? We do. And all we need to do is go and look and see, go to the throne room of God and seek the Lord with all our heart. Know that God is our God and be joyful in His presence. Amen. Father, I just thank You this morning, the Lord. You're a God that wants to encourage Your people this morning in a way, the Father, that we can step out and step into the promises of who You are and the greatness of who You are. I pray right now, Father, that You set an atmosphere in every heart that is here to receive encouragement. Father, I speak to doubt right now. It's not welcome here. I speak to depression. It's not welcome here. I speak to the lies of the enemy over the people of God that, Lord, they are not welcome here, because today we get to speak truth. Today we get to speak life. Today we get to talk about blessing. And Lord, help us walk in that destiny that you have for us. And Lord, if it means to leave things behind, let us leave them behind so that we can walk into every promise that God has for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, so we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. How many of you realize there are things that ensnare you? And when you're snared up, it means you're entangled, kind of like a, how many of you ever, when you were small, would catch flies and then throw them in a spider web? None of you guys were that creative. I did. I always used to do that. If there's a fly there, you could catch it. You go like that and you catch it, and I'd throw it into a spider web, and then I'd see the spider web come and just entangle it. And see, that's where the enemy wants to keep you, because your sins will entangle you if you don't address your sins. And God is saying you need to be able to come to a place where you see the greatness of God not holding you or snaring you or holding you, but releasing you. Amen. God has come to set you free. Amen. And it says, whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. You're not a little fly being controlled by a spider no more. God says he has life for you. He has blessing for you. You can fly. You can go and fulfill your destiny and start dreaming once again by the goodness of God. Amen. Because the sin cannot hold you down unless you live in the sin and not release it. Amen. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, once you've been released, run to the things of God. Run and fulfill the promises of God. See your destinies. Fulfill your dreams. If someone could get me some water, please, that'd be great. Because the Lord wants freedom in your life. The Lord wants freedom in your life. The enemy wants you to feel like you're entangled. You can't move. You're frustrated. You're hurt. You're angry. Negative. God is saying, I've come to set the captives free. Amen? And it goes on and it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he knew what he had to go through, but greater was what was in front of him than the things he had to go through. How many of you realize we're going to go through things, but the things that are before us are greater? When we set our eyes on the destiny of heaven, when we set our eyes on the glory of God, thank you, Brother Dan, we're going to know, and we got to pursue the goodness of God. How many can say amen to that? Amen. You know, last week, the worship team really challenged us in a really, really good way, because they talked about coming to that place of recognizing the holiness of God, just like Moses and Joshua did. And they came to that place, and the Lord tells them, both of them in two different circumstances, he tells them, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. And if you really look at it, Moses and Joshua, at that point in their lives, a lot of things changed, because they were no longer the person that they were when they came to that point. Things changed. And they challenged us to come forward last week and to rub, you know, there was a carpet here, and for us to be able to rub our feet on the carpet and then say, we're removing our past and we're stepping into a new realm, into a new spiritual realm. And that was the challenge that was set before us. You know, all week long, I was dwelling on that, and I was thinking about that. And I said, Lord, What does it really mean to have that experience with you where my life is going to change from this moment forward because I'm taking a new place in you, or I am accepting the call or that holiness that you're letting me step into? What does it really mean? And you know, it's amazing that how the Word of God works and how He does great things. He led me to the book of Jacob. And I'm going to talk about Jacob because that's the name of my title. From Jacob to Israel. From Jacob to Israel. We know Jacob, basically, he was a trickster. He was a deceiver. We know all of that. You know, I'll go through the story real quick. Jacob was a twin. And even when his brother was born, Esau, which was his twin brother, as they were being born, Esau put his foot out of the womb. And Jacob reached over and he grabbed the foot. He was trying to pull it back in because he wanted to be first. Even as an infant, he was battling for that position. He wanted to be the one in charge. He wanted to receive the blessing. He was always fighting, but it was always his way. He wanted to do it his way. And he was always fighting for certain things because he wanted it done, but he wanted it done his way. And later on in life, we know that Esau was, he was a hunter and he was out hunting, and I guess he wasn't successful that day, or it doesn't say how long he was out hunting, but he comes in and he's hungry. It says that he was so hungry to the point that, and here Jacob was eating this nice stew. I don't know if it was menudo. I don't know if it was pozol. I don't know what it says, lentils. So it could be a lot of different things. I don't know. But it was really good. It looked really good. And it says that Esau comes in and he says, "Give me some of that stew. Give me some of what you're eating. I'm really, really hungry." And Jacob, the deceiver, the trickster, he says, "Well, if you'll give me your birthright." See, he was always wanting. He wanted that. In Esau, it says in the Word of God, I think it's somewhere in Genesis 25, he says, What good is my birthright if I die of hunger? I'll give it to you." So then Esau gives him some menudo. I mean, Jacob gives him some menudo. Shares with him. Amen? So now, verbally, he's made an exchange by deceiving Esau. But I want to talk a little bit about Esau right there, because how many of you, sometimes you get yourself in a point of desperation that you make poor choices? You're willing to do something that you wouldn't usually do because you're in desperate need of something. That really ministered to me last night when I was looking at this, because a lot of times we get ourselves in a place of desperation and we make hasty decisions, not really realizing the results that it's going to have in our lives later on, the consequences. So anyway, we see Jacob do that. Later on, he's up to his tricks again. He heard, his mom had heard that Esau was going to get the blessing. It was time for Isaac to pass away. And they played a trick on him. He could barely see. So the mom went and made some of the food and stuff, and then they put a furry animal, a goat or something, the fur of a goat on him. I don't know how hairy Esau was, but my goodness. They put a fur skin of a goat over him, and the dad touched him and said, "Oh, it's my son Esau." He was a hairy dude. Anyway, they tricks the dad. He goes in there and he tricks the dad. And he receives the blessing that belongs to his oldest brother. Deceiver and trickster. There he is again. Doing it his way. Wanting it, but he's manipulating things so that he can gain. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we're kind of those deceivers, aren't we? We're kind of those manipulators or those tricksters. We do things or we set things up so that we can benefit ourselves. But the cool thing about it, remember, that's Jacob. That's Jacob. So in fact, because he tricked his father, and Esau came back and he knew that his dad had already given his blessing to his younger brother Jacob, it says that Esau got so mad that he said, "I'm going to kill him." That's the anger that he got. Esau got so angry that he said, I'm going to kill him. So the mom, Jacob was the mom's favorito, little beloved mijito, you know, little son. So the mom intervenes and says, you know what? I need to get my son Jacob out of here because his brother is planning on killing him. See, this is all in the Bible. This is real, okay? Stuff that happened. You know how sometimes we think of we're angry with our brother or sister. We're not going to kill him, but sometimes we get angry. But you know what? There's family situations, isn't there? And it's real. It happens. It happens. But the thing about it, Jacob flees and he ends up going to his uncle's house, Laban. And it says that Laban had two daughters. It says one of them was beautiful, which was Rachel. And the other one, it says that she was sore to the eyes. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know exactly what that means, but, you know, maybe it's not political correct to say someone's lazy to your eyes. I don't know. But anyway, the thing about it is Jacob took a liking to Rachel. And we know the story. He went before his uncle and he said, you know what, I really want to marry Rachel. And he says, you got to work for her for 7 years. That's quite a dating plan, isn't it? 7 years of dating. He had to work for his wife. But we know the story. That night that of the wedding and everything that was going on and the celebration, all of a sudden, Jacob wakes up in the morning and he's with the older sister, Leah. And he got very hurt. How about that scripture that says, you reap what you sow? He had been deceiving people and now he got deceived. He got tricked. And he didn't like it that much. But a lot of times what happens is what we do catches up to you. But it's all part of God's plan. Understand, because remember, Jacob goes to Israel, becomes Israel. And sometimes in our lives, see, the things that we did in the past, there's consequences or things that we have to address. We have to make things right sometimes. I think it was Sister Joella was talking about that. Sometimes you got to go and make, you know what? She was talking to one of the ladies in the prison, in the jail the other night. And the girl said, I'm here because there's a warrant that was out, but it's old. How many of you realize warrants don't get old? If you did something, there's a reason that warrant follows you. And see, the thing is with Jacob, it was the same thing. Things were catching up to him that he had done in his past. He was having to pay for some of the things he did. And I've told you the story of how I was very mischievous when I was younger. And I remember doing this thing to this teacher and I made her cry. And I felt so bad, but I did it. It was already over. But later on, as when I came to know the Lord, I had to go ask for forgiveness. I saw this teacher and it would just weigh on me so heavy that I had to go say, I'm sorry for what I did, Mrs. Romero. I'm sorry I did that. And she was very like, this was, you know, I was in seventh grade. I don't know how old you are in seventh grade, 13, 14 years old. And now I'm 30 something and I'm asking for forgiveness. She probably looked at me and said, who are you? But you know what? It made such an impact in my life that I needed to make it right. Sister Joella was sharing about Pastor Jeremiah, where he was working somewhere and he put $20 in his pocket because he could get to the register or something. And later on, he forgot about it and he spent the money. But then the Lord convicted him later on and he went and took the money back. He made it right. And see, sometimes we've got to look at the things we've done so that we make them right. Because you know what? You can't build a righteous, a holy life on something that is wrong. You've got to make it right. You've got to correct it. And sometimes we've got to make it right. Because that's what the Lord desires. So we see Jacob here. He's still up to his old tricks. Because then his uncle says, okay, you know what? I gave you my older daughter because it's our custom that I can't marry, you can't let the younger one get married before the older one, so I had to let you marry the older one. And now, after a week, I'll let you marry Rachel, but you need to work another 7 years for me. Man, what a dating plan this guy was. I always used to joke with my daughter. I always used to tell Amanda, you can get married when you're 30, or you can start dating. This is what I said. I said, you can get married when you're 30, but you can start dating when you're 35. And she'd always say, Dad, how am I going to get married at 30 if you don't let me date till I'm 35? He goes, you marry who I tell you. So that's a good one for you dads to have those young girls. I'd always tell her that. But see, this man had a plan. You want my daughter, you gotta work for me for 7 years. That's quite a plan, isn't it? Seven for the first, seven for the second. Good thing he didn't have a third. Amen. But anyway, the thing about it is when Jacob completed the 7 years or the 14 years of being around Laban, and he started kind of growing his sheep and all this stuff, his kind of family and all this stuff, Laban started doing some things, some tricks against him. And all of a sudden, Jacob gets to the point that he says, you know what, I'm tired of being around my father-in-law, and he's doing this, and he's saying this, and he says he's going to give me this, and then he takes my sheep, and he tells me then I can have the striped sheep or the ones that are spotted, and then all of a sudden he says, no, you can only have the black ones. It was back and forth. So Jacob, being the deceiver and the trickster that he was, he got his family when Laban was away, and he ran with them. Again, there he goes running away from the problem. He ran with them. He took his family and he ran. But see, God was already doing a work in him. See, when he ran from Esau, he had stopped at a certain place and he had a dream. And that's where he saw the ladder that descended into heaven, and he saw the angels coming and going. See, God was already stirring something. How many of you realize that even when you're running from things, God's working in your lives? How many of you can look back and say, you know what, there was some things I did or I experienced, and I know God was with me. He saved me from them. He was working in my life back then. See, so now Jacob is in a place where he's running from his father-in-law. His father-in-law comes back and says, you know what, Jacob? That's wrong that he left with my daughters. And it says that he got his army, his men together, and they went to go bring them back, and he went over there. Well, anyway, on the way, Laban has a dream. The uncle has a dream. And the Lord appears to him and says, do not touch Jacob. Do not touch him. Anything you say to curse him will bounce back on you. But Jacob's not doing what is right. But yet God's hands on him. And now he's already starting to have kids. And you know what their names are? Simeon, Levi, Judah. God's already working something because he promised it to his grandfather, Abraham. See, God's promises will be fulfilled, even though through the struggles. And this is a really good thing to grab a hold of here, because some of you have been praying for individuals that seem far from you. But even in that scripture that I said, it says that if you turn your ways to the Lord, he will not only bless you, but he'll bless your descendants. And see, some of you are saying, my descendants are far from God. Well, Jacob was very far from God. Jacob was doing things his way. He was pursuing and following only what was going to benefit him. He was living a life for himself, basically. But see, God was already setting him up. Like I've always said, God is the God of the setup. What seems, or what you see in your life, or how things appear, are not the way God sees them. God's working in great ways. God is doing wonderful things, even behind the scenes of the things that don't look right. You know what? Jacob had already seen a dream. God was already doing some things. He was fulfilling a promise that he had given Abraham. Amen. His grandfather. And isn't it amazing that even in the New Testament, when they refer back and they say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why would he say Jacob? He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. Because something happened to Jacob. And see, that's that point that I'm talking about. When you come to a place that you realize something is about to change in your life. And that's that point that the worship team really challenged us last week about. And I thank you for that, Sister Selena and the worship team. Because there's a time in your life that you got to come to realize, my life is about to change spiritually. I am going to either pull back or I'm going to step into. But the thing is, it's up to you because God gives you that freedom of choice. That's one of the most spiritual things that God gave each one of us, is the power to choose. You can choose to get up in the morning and go to work, or you can choose to stay home. You can choose to get up and pray, or you can choose to not pray. You can choose to follow the ways of the Lord, or you can choose not to. It's the power of choice. And God gave you that power to choose each day and minute, second by second, if you're going to do what He wants you to do, or you're going to do whatever you want to do. It's your choice. But there's a time that you come to a place that you start to realize things are going to change. Either to live or to die. Either to be blessed or to be cursed. And that's where Jacob is now. And the thing about it, he had just run from his father-in-law. His father-in-law caught up to him. But God had already told him, don't do anything to him. And don't curse him, because it's going to bounce back on you. My hand is upon Jacob. I'm doing something here. Then Jacob finds out that Esau is coming. And remember, the last time he saw Esau, Esau said, I'm going to kill you. And now Esau, it says, it's coming with 400 men. One of his servants saw him coming, and he said, Esau's coming. Oh man, what am I going to do? So Jacob, being the trickster, he says, oh, I'll let him know that I care for him and I love him. I'm going to send one group with sheep, one group with cows, one group with camels, one group with... He started trying to shower him with goodness. And he said, when you go over there, say, this is from your servant Jacob, Esau. All these sheep are yours because your servant Jacob loves you. This is according to 3 Peter. They love you so much. Jacob loves you so much. These sheep all belong to you. And they're all going to have twins. And they're all good. They're really good sheep. The next one's the cows. The next one's the donkeys. The next one's the camels. And then all of a sudden he started sending his family. Some of the servants. But he separated Leah and Rachel because he really cared for them, and he separated them. But this is the point I want to get to. It says, let's go to Genesis 32, verse 24. So he had sent everybody, he had sent people to try to shower Esau, and he had separated his family. And it says here in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone. How many of you realize when you're alone, it's when things get real? That's when it really gets real. Because you can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to yourself. You got to get real. And how many of you realize when you get real, that's when God shows up? God shows up. It says, then Jacob was left alone. And it says, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Man, this guy had it rough. But he had kind of put himself in that rough position, hadn't he? By one of the choices he made. And it says, now when he saw that he did not prevail against him. This is the individual that's fighting with Jacob. It says he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. So in other words, it says it was a man, but if you read some of the other translations, it says that it was God himself that was fighting with Jacob. It was Jesus that really came down to fight with him. But the thing about it is, one of the things you've got to understand, how many of you realize you can fight with God all your life? Because it said he fought with him the whole night. You can fight with God the whole night or your whole life. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. In other words, why was this fight so important? It was not because Jacob could show God how strong he was, is that it, so that he'd realize how great his God was. But see, Jacob was going through some stuff, so he needed to show how great he was. He was trying to be strong and mighty, and there was all these things, the deceiver and all this trickery and all this stuff. He was trying to prove himself with this individual that he was fighting, but he didn't realize that he was in a fight that he couldn't win. God will fight with you through your whole life, but you're not going to win, or you're not going to convince God to change his ways. So in other words, something had to happen here that Jacob would realize that his ways are different from God's ways. And God's ways are different from his ways. And he had to come to a point where he realized who he was fighting against. Because at the time that the Lord wanted, he says that he touched his hip and his hip was dislocated. Just like that. In other words, how many of you realize, I remember my little son when he was little and he was always jumping on me and, oh daddy, I'm going to wrestle you. And it would, at first you wrestle with him for a while and then all of a sudden you say, okay, get away. Pow! Kind of that's what God did with him. You know what? It's okay to wrestle with you. Here, Jacob, God got you in a headlock. You know? And then all of a sudden I said, okay, Jacob, it's time to get serious. Pap, hit him on the side, his hip dislocated. But when you come to the Lord, God is working on something. God is working on something. Because Jacob was in a fix, because his brother was coming, all this stuff was happening all around him. How many of you sometimes feel like there's so much going on around you? And it's all against you. It's frustrating. It's hard. There's a scripture that comes to mind and it's Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. How many of you realize, this is really important that you get this. God is not a one size fit all. The reason I say that is, God is a personal God. He's a God that customly comes to witness and to grab you and to encourage you in his own ways because you're important to him. He doesn't do it one way and everybody follow. He knows how to touch each heart because each one of you are differently. You're wired different. And the thing about it is, a lot of times we think because God's doing it for someone over here and he's not doing it for you, you feel left out. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a season and a time for everything. And God's timing, when it comes and it's for you, you're going to know it. This time it was for Jacob. It was his timing. And you know what? He did it different than he did it for Daniel. He did it different than he did it for Moses. He did it different than he did it for Joshua. Because you know what? Our God is a personal God. And he meets you where you're at. He doesn't come and just throw a blanket over a problem and say, okay, everybody figure it out. You got it. There's the answer. He's a God that comes in and gives each one of us the direction and the specific things we need so that we can overcome every circumstance and situation. And I want you to know that your situation is important to God. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you and tell you that you're not important. Because God is working on your behalf. Even this guy that was a deceiver and a trickster and pulling pranks and trying to gain everything for himself, the first birthrights, the blessing, all of this, he was greedy. And he was trying to take it all in. God was still working on him because you know what? He had to become Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though he was far from the plan, God was working on him to bring him to where he needed to be. Some of you may feel like you're far from the plan, but God is working on you to bring you where you need to be. But you can't listen to the lies of the enemy. You cannot listen to the discouragement that's around you. You've got to keep your eyes set on Jesus. You've got to say, for the things that are set before me are greater than the things I'm in. I'm moving forward. I'm progressing into the things of God. And that's when you start realizing you start shaking off some of your dust, changing shoes. Your walk is about to change. You're about ready to become something different spiritually to the things of God. You know what? We've battled so much with the things of our past that we never move forward. And God is saying, I'm a God. I'm a progressive God. I don't dwell in the past. I'm a God that's about the future, about your destiny, about your dreams. And He wants us to move forward so we can experience what He has for us. But you know what? We're always back here looking back, trying to figure things out. I've heard it said this way. The windshield on your car is 100 times bigger than your rear mirror. Why do you keep looking through your rear mirror instead of looking through your big windshield? That's what God is saying. You got to look where you're going instead of always trying to look back. Because the enemy's the one that wants to keep you tied up, tangled up, and make you feel that you're a Jacob. You're never going to be good for anything. It's all about you. It's all about what you want. And you know what? All the things you did, your sins, all of that, he wants to keep you there. But God says, you know what? No, I'm bringing you to a place where you're going to know the difference from here forward. It's up to you whether you accept it or you draw back. I want you to know when I was speaking, when I was studying and preparing this, I wasn't exempt, okay? It says in Isaiah 40, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what's funny? Last night when I was sitting, outside, and I was studying, and this verse I'm looking at, it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. All of a sudden, we have a little hummingbird feeder. And a hummingbird came. And that hummingbird, I don't know how fast, I was going to look it up and I didn't. How many little flaps they have to make? I don't know, I think it's thousands in a minute or something. And you know what? All of a sudden, I'm looking at this, and then I see, it wasn't an eagle, but it was one of those big birds. And I saw it up top, and it's just gliding. And I said, I look at that hummingbird, and I said, that's where the enemy wants me. Always, I gotta go over here, I gotta go over there, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Always running. How many of you feel like that? That you're trying to do everything and it's like you're beating your shawl, these strokes. And God's saying, I have mounted you up like wings of eagles. But as I was looking at the eagle, at that bird, the big bird that was flying above, it was just soaring. So I looked up into I Googled eagles. You know what's really cool about an eagle? They ride currents that cannot be seen. They ride currents that cannot be seen with by the eye. They trust that God will keep them floating. Faith. Worship. If my worship is on, my faith is strong. And I can soar. I'm custom God has customly made me for a purpose. I'm soaring with a purpose. I'm moving forward to what God wants me. I'm doing what God wants me to be. That's why I can say there is greatness in my future. That's why I can say my God is a God that heals. My God is a God of miracles, because you start soaring and you start trusting in God and your eyes are set on Him. And you know what? You're not over here beating your wings and trying to figure out, is this good water? Is this sweet water? Is it something bad? Or should I fly over here to this flower? Or should I go to that rose over there? Or, you know, just imagine. I was sitting there and I started crying. Because that's what the enemy wants. He wants us batting our little wings like a hummingbird. And God is saying, cross the line and start soaring with the eagles. Trusting God. Letting God be the wind beneath your wings. But it comes with trusting in a holy God. It comes with making things right in our lives. It comes with knowing and identifying the entanglements or the things that the enemy wants to use so that we are batting our little wings and being real. Remember, Jacob was alone and he just wrestled with let's get back. Genesis 32, verse 27. This is a really good message, isn't it? I know a message merely spoke to me. Not because I'm giving it, it's in God's word, so it's good. Verse 27 says, so he said to him, what is your name? God knows your name. But he's asking Jacob, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. Then Jesus says to him, remember, this is the image that Jacob was battling with. He says, your name shall no longer be Jacob. You know what he's saying? Your name will no longer be deceiver or trickster. This is what really blew my mind. But your name shall be Israel. You know what Israel stands for? Chosen. God's chosen. In other words, he went from being Jacob to being Israel, the chosen one. He went from being a deceiver and a trickster to being chosen by God. And from him comes the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 sons of Israel. Because his name is Israel. Is that mind blowing? It's really amazing. But he made a promise with Abraham. From your seed are going to come descendants as numerous as the sand, and they shall be my people. From a deceiver, a trickster, a liar, a manipulator, God still is working his plan. Isn't it amazing? Maybe you guys all knew this, but I kind of got excited about it. Now no more Jacob. Now the chosen one. See, that's where God wants to bring each of us. Where you see, Jacob needed to wrestle with God so that he could figure out how great God was and leave his ways behind. And when God saw that Jacob's attitude, his ways, his manipulation, his trickery, his ways of deceiving were worked out of him. Now God said, what is your name? My name is Jacob. No, it's no longer going to be Jacob. Because now you've come to that place of holiness. And you're no longer Jacob. You're entering into a new spiritual realm where your name is going to be Chosen One, Israel. God's really speaking to some hearts here this morning, because you know what? Some of us, we've got to be able to see the difference between the hummingbird and the eagle, between our past and what God wants for us, and how the enemy wants to keep you in one place and how God wants to move you to another. But it really comes to that point of recognizing who you are in God and recognizing who God is and saying, you know what? I do trust you, Lord, and I accept every change that you want for me. Because remember, God wrote a book about you. God has your story before him. And the story that he has before you is a story of blessing, a story of goodness, a story of success and victories. But see, the enemy is the one that has us all weighed down. And we're batting our little wings trying to do everything and trying to do this and that. And God is saying, you know what? I want you to soar like an eagle. I want you to fly. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy that come in to try to rob and steal your life. Start rising up like an eagle and flying and pushing yourself into that destiny and saying, my hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Trusting God, knowing that God says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. All things work together for good for those who trust in God. Why do we listen to all these lies? Why do we entangle ourselves like that little fly in the spider web? God is saying to us this morning, you are important to him. No more Jacob, but now you're chosen, the chosen one. Amen? God is doing a great thing. God is doing a great thing. And you know what's really cool about this? Jacob tells the Lord. The Lord says, I have to leave now because day breaks. And Jacob said to him, Lord, he said, no, you can't leave me until you bless me. And he grabbed a hold of him. It says that he grabbed a hold of him and he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't let go. How many of you, sometimes you need to grab a hold of God and say, Lord, you know what? I'm not leaving here, Lord. I'm going to get blessed. And the Lord blessed him. And from that moment on, Jacob's life turned around. He no longer was that deceiver. He no longer was that trickster. If you start reading, he started living a life for God and started walking in the ways of the Lord. He started walking in victories. He started seeing God's favor. He started seeing that, you know what? His ways, he laid them down, and God's ways were a lot better. Amen. He started to realize that. But see, the thing is, a lot of us are trying to build the favor of God on our sins and all this stuff. We've got to let it go. Because you know what? Some of us need to go take care of the Esau's in our life. Because right after that, he goes over and he makes it right with his brother. In fact, they hugged and they cried upon each other. Why? Because God's favor now has stepped in. All of a sudden, from anger, I want to kill you, to embracing his brother, saying, I'm so glad to see you, my brother. But more importantly, guess who was watching forgiveness? His son Joseph. Later on in Joseph's life, when his brothers were before him, and here now he has authority to come against them. I know forgiveness and I choose to forgive. He He will bless your descendants. You want to be a blessing to your descendants? Start living and making good choices for God now. God is in the business of doing wonderful, wonderful things for us. We are called His chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. No longer the Jacobs, no longer the old me, no longer the old you. Don't dwell on it no more. It never says that Jacob, all he did was talk about Laban and said, I had to work 14 years for these women. All the men said, amen. It doesn't say that. Laban never talked about the things that were of his past. He was so excited about what God was doing in the future that his focus was on him. Jacob's focus was on God, not on all the mishaps. How many of us today can truly say, Lord, I want to be released from my past? You know, last week was really, really stirred in my heart, because to wipe your feet, you're standing on holy ground. What are you going to do with it? And then the Lord leading me to this story and just unfolding it to go with that. And I'm like, Lord, maybe this is just for me. Maybe it's the people of the church. They got it. You know, they're all good. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe I'm the one that's all messed up. But I really believe that the Lord is calling a people for such a time as this and challenging us. What are you going to do when you get to that place of holiness? Are you going to enter in, or are you going to push away? The choice is yours. But you know what? Sitting last night on that chair and looking at the hummingbird and looking at that big bird flying up there, my choice came very easy. I want to beat myself to death. They say that the life expectancy of a hummingbird is very short. And the life expectancy of the eagle is very long. How many of us want to soar like an eagle? How many of us are ready to stop beating ourselves like little hummingbirds? Start listening more to God and walking in the ways of God and experiencing the goodness of God like we've never experienced it before. I really believe the Lord is stirring us for such a time as this to be able to see His greatness in a new measure. I want you to know, I got excited about God last night. You know, visiting a prison and then seeing that hummingbird and that eagle, I'm like, God wants us free. God wants us free. And that means being free in worship, being free in our speech about God, spiritual things. He wants you released spiritually. But what are we going to do when we come to that point of holiness? What are we going to do? And that's the challenge I give to each of you this day. Last week you wiped your feet, ones that were here. You said, I want to go forward in a new way. But now it kind of really breaks it down and it shows you through the life of Jacob. Because now all of a sudden Jacob becomes Israel. What do you want to become? What do you want to lay down? What are some of the things you want to get rid of? What are some of the Esau's you got to go and say, I'm sorry? That's my challenge to you as a people. And I want you to know that I'm not exempt from it. I was bawling yesterday on my porch, and there's a lot of things I ask God to forgive me for. But there's a lot of things I said, Lord, I want to soar. And I am glad you're opening up the prison doors. You're opening up the prison doors. You're setting free the captives. That's our God. That's who He is. What a good God. We worry so much about everything. We're like that little hummingbird. Da, 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 da. But God says, I want you to soar. How many of us are ready to soar? Let's stand up this morning as the worship team comes forward. And where you're at this morning, just start closing your eyes. See yourself at that point of holiness. And saying, Lord, I want to cross this line from where I'm at, and I want to enter into something new and different. I want to enter in. I want to experience you like I've never experienced you before. But the choice is yours. So I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. Just come forward, those of you that, because I think people are going to come up and receive prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Go ahead and come on up, Sister Joella, Sister Roberta. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So the worship team starts playing. Amen. Paula. Anyone that wants prayer, just come forward. Just come forward. Clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. You are welcome in this place, my God. You are welcome in this place, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight at 4. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to thank the worship team. I want to thank you, first of all, for being sensitive to the Spirit of God. And I thank you that, you know, the Lord is speaking through you, using you in a mighty way. And I just pray that you guys continue to tap into what God has for you. Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much. Father, we're just grateful. The Lord, you are a God that causes great and wonderful things. And Father, you are doing a work in this place and over your people. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you continue to stir your spirit. Father, let us be able to be a generation of people that are called for such a time as this. That we would see and walk into your destiny. And Father, that we would not be hindered by the things of this world. But our eyes are set on you. Let our busyness come from you, my God, and not from the things around us. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I pray, Father, right now, the Lord, that this word that you gave us, Father, may cause us to soar like those eagles, trusting and knowing that our God is the wing beneath our wings. You're the wind beneath our wings, my God. You're the one that causes us to soar. You're the one that causes us, Lord, to move, my God. Let us feel your presence. Let us move with confidence, my God. Thank you for your people, Father, this morning. And I thank you so much for the goodness of God. And it's with great joy that we say, Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Just a reminder, we'll be here at 4 o'clock this evening. Amen. Just a time of prayer. Praise God. Thank you all for being here. Give each other a hug. In Jesus' name. Amen.